Welcome to the OU's Shnayim Mikra. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom. It is my privilege and pleasure to be studying Parshat HaShavua, Parashat Chaye Sarah with you. We are now on the sixth and penultimate Aliyah, after the successful conclusion of the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka. We now get to the passage about the, the coda of Avraham's life. Now that Avraham has successfully completed his last mission, which is to ensure a continuity of the legacy with the marriage of Yitzchak, by Yosef Avraham, Vayikach Isha Ushma Keturah. There is a famous midrash that identifies Keturah as being Hagar, that Hagar came back to Avraham. However, the simple pshat is here that he married a woman whose name was Hagar. It was Keturah. The next passage is something which the Sforno interprets in an interesting way. Vatelad lo et Zimran vet Yokshan vet Medan vet Midyan vet Yishpak vet Shuach. Yokshan yalad et Shva vet Dedan uvnei Dedan hayu ashurim ultushim ulumim. Uvnei Midyan efa v'efa v'chanoch v'yuda v'aldaa kol ela b'nei Keturah. So this is a long list of b'nei Keturah. And these are, of course, children of Avraham. The Sforno points out, based on a pasuk in Devar HaYamim, that Avraham really was not the father of these children, but rather they were Keturah's children, and he adopted them. In any case, that will still play out the same way for the rest of this Aliyah. So what we find is that Avraham suffered for many, many years of childlessness, then was successful in having Ishmael, which was, of course, a mixed blessing in the house, and then, of course, finally the exciting moment of the birth of Yitzchak. And now that all is said and done, and Sarah has died and been buried, and Yitzchak is married, suddenly he is either fathering or at least adopting a whole slew of children, who many of them are the eponymous founders of significant tribes who operate in the Near East. Notable, of course, among the names is Shva, and of course Midian, and Dedan, and Uvnei Midian, Ifava Efer, etc. Now, Vayiten Avraham et kol asher lo li Yitzchak. In spite of this, Avraham gave everything that he had to Yitzchak, which means that these sons were not heirs. And what did he give? Uvnei ha-pilag shim. This is a difficult word. In some versions, it's actually read as pilag sham, because up till now we thought that it's Keturah. It could, on the other hand, be a reference to these children and Ishmael, who all of them are B'nei HaPilag Shim, being Keturah and Hagar, which of course argue that Keturah cannot be Hagar. Asher le'Avraham natan Avraham matanot. He gave them gifts. Vayishalchem yal Yitzchak b'no b'denu chai, ked ma'al Eretz Kedem. Eretz Kedem is a reference to the Transjordan. He sent them east while he was still alive. Why is it significant that it's b'odenu chai? Because Avraham makes this declaration very clearly that you are not my sons. That's a passage which is a very important paragraph in the Code of Hammurabi that helps us understand the passage in Vayera of the exile, of an expulsion of Ishmael, such that Ishmael could not come back and argue that he is an equal son. In the same way, after Avraham dies, these sons could not come back and claim a stake in the inheritance, which was done because he was able to send them away while he was still alive. And this is Avraham's life. 175 years. Which means, by the way, he did not live as long as his father. And we'll come back, after going through the psukim, to this particular phrase, Vayasef Alamav. But he died, and he was gathered to his people. What that means, I'll mention in a minute. V'yikbru oto Yitzchak v'Yishmael banav. This is also a pregnant phrase. We'll go back to it. El me'arat ha-machpelah, el stei Ephron ben Socher, achiti asher al pnei Mamre. Notice that the field is still called the field of Ephron. And then we're told, ha-sadeh asher kana Avraham yit b'nei chet. It's the field that he bought from them. Shama kubar Avraham v'sara ishto. That's where both Avraham and Sarah were buried. So the end of the parsha concludes the note of the beginning of the parsha, the death of Sarah and her burial in the Marat HaMachpelah, now the death of Avraham and his burial next to her. Vayivarech Elohim et Yitzchak b'no, which Chazal understand is the allusion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Menachem Avelim, as one who comforts the bereaved. Vayeshu Yitzchak in Be'er Lachayroim. Yitzchak then settled in near Be'er Lachayroim that we had dealt with in the earlier podcast as the place where Yitzchak associated with davening or meditation, etc. I want to go back to these two phrases earlier on. The first one is Vayasef Alamav. What does this mean to be gathered to one's fathers, which is something that we find in the context of the death of Aharon. We find in the death of Moshe. Yasef Alamecha. What does this particular phrase mean? One would be tempted to say that it is some sort of a nice way of talking about the death of Tzadikim, which of course then would put the passage later on in Pasuk Yod Zayin under the microscope, because we say the same thing about Yishmael, although again, depending on how we look at the next passage we're going to look at, Be'iyun, Yishmael may indeed be regarded as something of a tzaddik. We will take a look at that. However, Vayasef Alamav has a very simple explanation. The method of burial that was practiced during Bayit Rishon times and before, during the times of the Avot, and during the times of the Shoftim, and during the times of the First Temple, was certainly not burial underground. It was burial in a cavern, in a catacomb. And in Bayit Rishon times, what would happen is there'd be a series of caves, which is together a catacomb that would be owned by a family. That's what Avraham bought, Marat HaMachpelah. And the bodies of the members of the family, when somebody died, would be brought in, and there were rock beds that the body would be laid upon, and they'd be left there. What would happen when you ran out of beds? So in Bayit Rishon times, there was a pit in the middle of the cave, and that pit was known as the Osef, the place where the gathering. And all the bones of the most decomposed body, which means the one had been buried there the longest, typically, would be cast into that pit, and then there'd be an empty bed for the next person in the family who had died. So literally, when somebody died, they were gathered unto their people, and their ultimate destiny was to be buried together. Now, interesting that this phrase is used in the context of Abraham, where he is not literally buried with his ancestors, because his ancestors are in Haran, and here he is in Hebron, but it has already become an idiom and a way of talking about being buried and about dying by Yasef Alamav. The second piece to the puzzle is the mention of Yitzchak v'Yishmael. The first point of it is that Yishmael has not been disenfranchised from the family. And Yishmael perhaps even remained in the orbit of Avraham and in the periphery of Avraham's life after Sarah died, and they maintained some sort of a connection. But in any case, the fact that Yitzchak and Yishmael cooperate in the burial of their father is, of course, a beautiful statement. But Chazal make much more of this. And that is that if we understand that the Torah tells its story in exact chronological order, Yesh Muktam U'Me'uchar Torah, the discussion in the middle of the first chapter of Masechet Pesachim, then that means that Yitzchak led the funerary procession and Yishmael took a back seat, even though Yishmael was older. Which means that Yishmael accepted his position as a secondary son, as a second-rate son, as an outside son, whatever we might want to call it, and that would, of course, bode well for Yishmael. This, I'll just conclude with a interesting story that is told about Rabbi Yonatan Eibishitz. I cannot testify to the veracity of the story or to the fact that it did or didn't happen with that great gadol of the 18th century, but the story is told, I believe that it's in Maimon Sar HaMeah, that Rabbi Yonatan Eibishitz, when he was a young man, was offered a shiduch with a daughter of an important man in another city, and he was evidently 13 at the time, and the families agreed to meet at some spot in the middle so that the prospective father-in-law could meet this young Eibishitz and see if he really was as brilliant as people said and if he was a worthy son-in-law. And they met at an inn, and it was a Jewish inn somewhere in between the two towns, and they said, well, what do you know? He said, well, bring me a sefer. They looked around, and in the inn, the only sefer that was there was a sitter. So they brought the sitter. They were somewhat distraught because they thought there's not a whole lot that he could say about that. And so he said, open up to any page. So they opened up to the page near the beginning of Shacharit where we have the Braita from Torat Kohanim, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, etc. And immediately on the spot, the young man said, I have three questions about this passage. The first question is that Rabbi Yishmael Omer is in the wrong order. Normally, when a Tana presents information that is not disputed, it's Amar Rabbi X. Rabbi X Omer is usually when he's disagreeing with some other statement, but there's no other statement here with which he's disagreeing. So why is it Rabbi Yishmael Omer? The second thing is that among the rules of Rabbi Ishmael are klalu pratu pratu klal, and they're dealt with differently. If you have a general rule followed by a particular, it's dealt with one way, it minimizes. If you have a particular one followed by a general statement, it expands. So he said, that will only work if we believe that the Torah's order is exact, meaning yesh mukdam mukhar b'Torah. But if ein mukdam mukhar b'Torah, if the Torah's presentation is not in exact order, then who says the klal comes before the prat? Maybe they're in adverse order and you can't learn anything from them. This, of course, is not a legitimate question. I'll say that from the get-go, but as far as the story goes, it's a cute point. And as I said, my third question is, what the heck kind of name is Ishmael to give a kid? How does somebody name that kid Ishmael? That was his point. He says, I'll answer you with one answer. And the answer is as follows. We have the passage in our parsha that says that Yitzhak and Ishmael buried Avraham. So if we believe that Yitzhak and Ishmael, that the way the Torah tells the story is the order which it happened, that means Yitzhak went first. If that's the case, then Ishmael accepted his position, and that means Ishmael's a good guy. If Ishmael's a good guy, then that means the Torah is written in order. You know, they're following it that way. And that means it's perfectly legitimate to name your kid Ishmael. He says, so therefore, the way we should read the Braita is Rabbi Ishmael Omer. The fact that there's a rabbi named Ishmael tells you. What does it tell you? Klalu Prat. It tells you that things really are in order, and the order of the general and the specific rule really is significant. In any case, a cute story with which to end this podcast. We will complete our study of Chayei Sarah in the next podcast, in which we will look a little bit more carefully at the character of Ishmael as we hear of his generations. Everybody should have a wonderful day.